Track 9, Celebrity Spotlight. Sam is back now, and she's going to tell us about a remarkable entertainer, Sammy Davis Jr.
When an irresistible force such as you meets an old immovable object like me, you can bet as sure as you live, something's gotta give, something's gotta give, something's gotta give.
Samuel George Davis Jr. was born on December the 8th in 1925 in the Harlem neighborhood of New York City, was the infant initially raised by his paternal grandmother. Now, Davis's parents split up when he was 3, and he went to live with his father, who was working as an entertainer in a dance troupe. When his father and adopted uncle went on tour, Davis was brought along too, and after learning to tap, the 3 began performing together. They would eventually be dubbed the Will Mastin Trio. Well, because of the group's itinerant lifestyle, Davis never received a formal education, although his father did occasionally hire tutors while they were on the road. And during their travels in the 1930s, the young Davis not only became an accomplished dancer, but also a skilled singer, multi-instrumentalist and a comedian, and he was soon the star of the show. In 1943, at the height of World War II, he was drafted into the army. But during his service, he directly experienced the most horrendous racial prejudice that his father had previously protected him from. He was constantly harassed and physically abused by white soldiers, with his fellow servicemen breaking his nose. But Davis eventually found refuge in an entertainment regiment, where he discovered that performing allowed him a certain measure of safety and a desire to earn even a hateful audience member's love.
Yeah, 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 feel like I'm made out of gingerbread. Crumb-picking, lip-licking gingerbread. Can't think about rainy weather now. Myself together now, fresh out of the pan, sweet gingerbread man.
And after the war, Davis resumed his showbiz career. He continued to perform with the Will Mastin Trio as the star of the act, and then also struck out on his own, singing in nightclubs and recording records. His career began to rise to new heights. And in 1947, when the trio opened for Frank Sinatra, with whom he would remain a lifelong friend and collaborator, at the Capitol Theatre in New York. A tour with Mickey Rooney followed, as did a performance that caught the ear of Decca Records, who signed Davis to a recording contract in 1954. But later that year, while driving to Los Angeles for a soundtrack recording, he was seriously injured in a car accident. Now, this accident resulted in his losing an eye, and he would use a glass eye for most of his life. And his recuperation also gave him time for deep reflection. He converted to Judaism shortly after, and finding commonalities between the oppression experienced by African American and Jewish communities. Romantically, Davis was seriously involved with bombshell actress Kim Novak in the 1950s, though their union faced much harassment due to the racial climate of the day. In 1955, his first two albums, starring Sammy Davis Jr. and Sammy Davis Jr. Sings Just for Lovers, were released to both critical acclaim and commercial success. And that in turn led to headlining performances in Las Vegas and New York, as well as further appearances in films and on television shows, including Anna Lucasta in 1958 with Eartha Kitt, and Porgy and Bess in 1959 with Dorothy Dandridge and Sidney Poitier, and The Frank Sinatra Show from 1958. Well, around this time, Davis made his Broadway debut as well, starring in the 1956 hit musical Mr. Wonderful, alongside members of his family and another legendary dancer, Cheetah Rivera. Now, by 1960, Davis was a star in his own right. But he was also a member of the legendary Rat Pack, comprising of Sinatra, Dean Martin, Peter Lawford and Joey Bishop, the hard-partying superstars of the Las Vegas and Los Angeles nightclub scenes. Well, Davis appeared with members of the pack in the films Ocean's 11 in 1960, and in 1962, Sergeant 3, and then Robin and the Seven Hoods in 1964. Now, he was also a featured player in films outside of the pack, including A Man Called Adam in 1966, having the titular role opposite Louis Armstrong. And he was unforgettable in Bob Fosse's Sweet Charity in 1969 with Shirley MacLaine, in which Davis appeared as the charismatic singing and strutting guru Big Daddy.
Daddy started out in San Francisco, tooting on his trumpet loud and mean.
Suddenly a voice said, go for Daddy, spread the picture on a wider screen.
And the voice said, Daddy, there's a million pigeons waiting to be hooked on new religions. Hit the road, Daddy, leave your common law wife, spread the religion of the rhythm of life. And the rhythm of life is a powerful beat, puts a tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet. Rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in the street, yes, the rhythm of life is a powerful beat.
To feel the rhythm of life, to feel the powerful beat, to feel the tingle in your fingers, to feel the tingle in your feet.
Now, the iconic performer also released a steady stream of albums on Decca and Reprise, and Davis was the first artist to be signed on the latter label, which was launched by Sinatra. He was nominated for a Record of the Year Grammy for the song What Kind of Fool Am I, which reached the top 20 of the Billboard pop charts as well. And Davis's live stage work continued to earn him honours, as seen with his Tony Award-nominated performance in the 1964 musical Golden Boy. But despite what appeared to be a free-swinging playboy lifestyle, a lifetime of enduring racial prejudice led Davis to use his fame for political means. During the 1960s, he became active in the civil rights movement, participating in the 1963 March on Washington, and refusing to perform at racially segregated nightclubs, for which he is credited with helping integrate in Las Vegas and Miami Beach. And he also challenged the bigotry of the era by marrying Swedish actress May Britt at a time when interracial marriages were forbidden by law in 31 states. In fact, President John F. Kennedy requested that the couple not appear at his inauguration so as not to anger white Southerners.
Fight, 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 fight it with all of our might. Chances are some heavenly star-spangled night you'll find out as sure as we live. Something really got to give.
Well, Davis was ultimately married three times. First, briefly, to singer Laurie White, and then to Britt in 1960, with the two having a biological daughter and two adopted sons. The couple divorced by the end of the decade, and Davis remarried in 1970 to dancer Outavise Gore, who remained with him until his passing. They adopted another son as well. And throughout the 1970s and the 80s, the multi-talented Davis continued his prolific output. He maintained his musical career, releasing albums well into the late 70s, and getting his first number one chart hit with 1972's Candyman, Now, this was the theme to the film Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
I'm the candy man. Who can take a sunrise?
Who can take a sunrise?
Sprinkle it with you.
Sprinkle it with you.
Cover it with chocolate and a miracle or two. The candy man.
The candy man.
Ooh, the candy man can. Candyman can, 'cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
Makes the world taste good.
Who can take a rainbow?
Davis appeared in films such as 1981's The Cannibal Run with Burt Reynolds and Roger Moore, and 1989's Tap with Gregory Hines. He was also a guest on a wide variety of television shows, including The Tonight Show, The Carol Burnett Show, All in the Family, and The Jeffersons, as well as the soap operas General Hospital and One Life to Live. And then Davis made another turn on Broadway during the summer of 1978 in Stop the World, I Want to Get Off, though overall some critics were turned off by what they perceived as hammed-up appearances. But while his career continued, with the performer embarking on a lauded tour with Sinatra and Liza Minnelli during the late 80s, Davis's health began to fade. He was a heavy smoker, and in 1989, doctors discovered a tumour in his throat. In the autumn of that year, he gave what would be his final performance at the Harris Casino in Lake Tahoe. And shortly thereafter, Davis underwent radiation therapy. And though the disease appeared to be in remission, it was later discovered to have returned. And on May the 16th, in 1990, Sammy Davis Jr. passed away at his home in Beverly Hills, California, at the age of just 64. Before his death, he was honoured by an array of his peers at a February television tribute.
Say please, Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, come back and dance, 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 please dance, Mr. Bojangles. Mr. Bojangles, dance.
Thank you, Sam. He certainly deserved to be honoured after all he went through.
Please, Bojangles, dance. Again, Bojangles.